What's up, everybody? Matt Gajewski here, back again with the Awesome Fantasy Football YouTube channel. And we are starting our positional deep dives. Yes, this is going to be the top five quarterbacks. We are going to be looking at an upside case scenario for each of those players. And who better than to do this with me than Nick Lepre on Twitter at Notorious Fantasy. Nick, I'm excited to hear what you have to say about some of these signal colors and the bull case for them this year. How are you doing today, my man?
I am doing great today. I hope you're doing great as well. And I hope the audience is doing great today. And they should be excited to listen to us talk about our top five quarterbacks and dive a little bit deeper than we did in the top 12 quarterback video.
I'm really excited. As much as I love talking about sleepers, getting into players like Justin Fields and Mac Jones, we get to talk about the best of the best today. Yeah. And we're going to go 5-1, our top five quarterbacks. Before we get started, make sure to hit that thumbs up button, subscribe to the channel, and hit the notification bell so you know when this and all other content goes live. And for the purpose of this video, Nick and I used our consensus rankings. So they may be a little bit different from what you see on the site, but I mean, this top five quarterback class in any particular order, I think we could argue any single one of them could finish as the number one overall score. You ready to get into this, Nick?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so we're going to start with number five. It's actually the number five quarterback for me personally. It's Justin Herbert, QB of the Los Angeles Chargers. There's a lot to like about this player overall. I mean, the offense he plays in is very conducive to fantasy success. When you just look at pass rate for this team, pass rate in neutral game scripts, plays per game, the Chargers are top five in every single one of those metrics, not to mention Herbert's individual talent. He's a player that was mocked a little bit coming into the NFL, but I think he's mainly squashed those concerns playing at such a high level at really every point in his career. And it's not just when he's had a healthy cast of players around him. Even when players have gone down, been injured, it's been Justin Herbert individually elevating the players that are ascending up the depth chart. So I love Herbert overall. Talk to me a little bit about this player, and we're going to get into floor and ceiling a little bit later.
Yeah, so when it comes to Justin Herbert last season, he really excelled. In his rookie year, he definitely beat down all the expectations I had of him. I wasn't sure if he was necessarily the guy that he was at college. Was he going to be able to excel at the NFL level? And the answer was obviously yes. And then last year was his real breakout season, right, where he was probably one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And you can argue that maybe he was a top three quarterback in the NFL last season. This is a LA Chargers team that, like you said, is one of the best units in the NFL in terms of an offense. They have so many great weapons. They've got Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams. Then they have some guys that, if you look even deeper into the depth chart, are immensely talented as well. I think that this is going to be an excellent team this year, the Chargers. I think that Justin Herbert is going to dominate yet again. Last year, he was the quarterback two on the season, and he was the quarterback two in points per game. He was number two in passing attempts, number two in passing yards, number three in passing touchdowns, and he was top 10 in all rushing metrics for the quarterback position. Justin Herbert is not Kyler Murray. He's not Lamar Jackson in terms of rushing ability, and I don't expect him to finish top five inside of the rushing categories. But when you have a quarterback that might rush for potentially five touchdowns in 2022, now maybe that would be a little high based upon my projections, your projections, but it is definitely possible that he could, and that is just that extra oomph in what could elevate Justin Herbert to potentially be the number one quarterback in all of fantasy football. Last year, this guy was fantastic. He was number four in protection rate at the quarterback position, which was a little bit surprising to me because the offensive line I didn't think was that top tier this year, but they've gotten even better going into this season. And I think that Justin Herbert is yet again, there's a good argument to make that he could be the number one guy. So if you're in the comment section and you're thinking, oh, why do you have him ranked at five? That's a little too low. We do both believe that he could be the best quarterback in fantasy.
Yeah, I think there's very much a tier break after him. If you look at this industry-wide rankings, the Osmo rankings, you're going to see players like Jalen Hurts just behind him. A lot of that has to do with rushing upside that Hurts provides. But at the same time, Hurts doesn't have the same level job security. He's not the same level offense and certainly not the pass-heavy offense. When you look at Herbert overall, you mentioned a lot of the counting stats being top two, top three. He's also in the top two, top three for volume. You look at overall attempts. He was second in attempts per game, completions per game, second. Passing yards per game, you already mentioned this. He was at 295 per game. That's, you know, if you're playing DraftKings, nearly 300-yard bonus every time you're going out there. Completion percentage was a little lower at 66%. But then you have to look at where he was throwing the ball. Justin Herbert pushing the ball downfield more than your average quarterback. So when you adjust for his average depth of target, this is a signal caller who is pushing the ball downfield and completing those passes at a high rate. You mentioned all the rushing stats, so I won't belabor that. He is a player that has solid mobility, and he didn't take as many sacks last year. That was a worry for him very early in his career. When you look at the Chargers and how they've built their team, they've invested a lot into the offensive line. Last year in the first round, they steal Rashawn Slater, who now is among the best tackles in the league. I mean, he's Pro Bowl caliber. They take Zion Johnson on the interior this year. That's already to complement some players they have inside, like Corey Linsley and Brendan James. They have some solid players up front now to protect Justin Herbert in addition to that mobility he provides. And then when we look forward, you brought this up in our top 10 video. If you want to see the rest of our rankings, make sure to check that out. It's a very tough division, and you've talked about this a lot. So why don't you talk to me about just the conference he plays in? And I mean, outside of that, you also have this team facing the NFC West, the AFC South, and they're playing a third place schedule. So it's not going to be the most difficult opponents.
Yeah, when you're looking at the schedule, you can feel very confident that there's potentially six games in this division that are going to be very high scoring. Now, it's not that the defenses in this division are necessarily pushovers, that they're some of the worst defenses in the NFL, but you have to think that in these division games that were normally high scoring without all these crazy quarterbacks, right? Even when Drew Lock is the quarterback of the Broncos, they're somehow able to keep up sometimes with these teams, but now it's Russell Wilson. Now you have Devontae Adams. So you have these other weapons that are going to these teams in this division. And I really think that's going to help out Justin Herbert a ton. And that is something I am putting a lot more emphasis on this season, is looking at the schedule. It is hard to predict what's going to be the best defense in the NFL, what's going to be the worst defense in the NFL, because things shift from year to year. But at the end of the day, when you see a division, you have a schedule that is pretty likely to where we're going to be seeing a lot of high scoring games. And I really do like Justin Herbert in this situation. And I think the schedule is really going to help him potentially become the number one guy in fantasy.
And one question I'm going to ask you for each of these players: what has to happen for Justin Herbert to finish as the QB1? Because I think there's a very reasonable case for Josh Allen, Kyler, Lamar. A lot of them are going to do it with their legs, and we'll talk about those players individually. But for Justin Herbert, what has to happen to get him to QB number one?
Yeah, I think one thing that has to go down is the drop passes, and that has nothing to do with Justin Herbert. Last year, he ranked fourth in dropped passes, 40 drop passes from Justin Herbert. That's not very good. Now, again, that's not Herbert's fault. That's the receiver's fault, right? He's throwing it directly to them, and they're dropping it. So I think in order for him to be the number one guy, that has to increase, as well as potentially him just keeping that high passing rate while just throwing for more touchdowns, right? Because he did not throw 40 plus touchdowns. He was number three in the touchdown passing touchdown column, which ranked third at quarterback. He had a 5.7% passing touchdown rate. So I think as long as he plays pretty similarly to, if that's a real word, that didn't sound like a real word, but pretty similar to how he played last year, then I think he should be good. And he was number three in pace of play. I think he's going to finish inside of the top five. I feel pretty confident that he could finish in the top three. But to get to number one, I think that Austin Eckler may have to take a back seat in rushing touchdowns and hope that there's more receiving touchdowns going his way in order for Justin Herbert to be the number one guy in my book. Do you agree with that? Or how would you feel about how he needs to finish as number one? Like, what does he got to do?
I think it's got to be positive touchdown regression, which I think you already laid out a strong case for. One, he plays an up-tempo offense, and it's pass-heavy. When you look at some of the non-mobile signal callers, and calling him non-mobile is not even fair. Again, he's going to be like that Russell Wilson-type mobility. And when we look back over the years, you know, you had Josh Allen finishing as the number one QB in fantasy the last 2 years. A lot of that coming on the ground with the touchdown upside. The year prior to that, it was Lamar Jackson, who's very unique in his approach. Then it was Mahomes. And I think Justin Herbert has Mahomes on the same mobility, on the same level as a guy like Mahomes. So for Mahomes that year, he threw 50 touchdowns, and Herbert probably needs to get in that like 42, 45 range to have a chance. And I think that is very much in his range of outcomes. Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree. And he also threw 15 interceptions last year, which isn't bad, right? 38 passing touchdowns, 15 interceptions. That's nothing to scoff at. But if he throws maybe just 10 or 11 interceptions, then there's an even bigger case as to why he could be the number one guy.
And sometimes interceptions can help you. I look back at that Mahomes year. This is 2018 when he finished as the QB1, 12 interceptions. And the QB3 was Ben Roethlisberger, 16 interceptions. we've seen it with Jameis Winston. Sometimes, you know, you throw this pick six, it puts you back into that fantasy friendly game environment. So yeah, you lose the point for fantasy, but maybe if it puts you in a little bit of a hole, you'll be throwing the ball even more. Let's go to our QB4 in terms of who we think can possibly finish as number one. And this quarterback, I have a little higher than you personally, I believe, if I'm recalling correctly. It's Kyler Murray, who's, I mean, we know where he gets his bread buttered. It is on the ground, but I think that's selling him a little bit short. When you look at Kyler Murray, he's been a player that has performed in a top five level when he's been healthy. But to me, it's just been the injuries, and we've seen him suffer through injuries multiple times in his career. You know, he's not the biggest guy, so this could be an issue moving forward. But overall, when I look at the offense Kyler plays in, they were 14th in pass rate in neutral situations. They were 8th in plays per game. So if Kyler's healthy, I think there's room for improvement for Arizona to be a little pass heavier and a little more up-tempo. And then with just what he adds on the ground, I think there's a lot to like about Kyler. But talk to me about the Arizona Cardinals signal caller.
Yeah, it's funny how you mentioned short with Kyler Murray, because he is very short. I just thought that was funny to add. But at the end of the day, I think that Kyler Murray does have the chance to be the number one guy, just like we've talked about. I think that right now in drafts, people are kind of discrediting how good he was last year when he was healthy. He was quarterback 4 in points per game. And despite only playing in 14 games, he was still top 5 in carries, rushing yards, and rushing touchdowns at the quarterback position. I think there's a pretty solid argument that you could make that he could finish number one in all categories. Now, maybe he's not as prone to get the number one carry total, but I do think even if he's carrying it maybe second or third most at the quarterback position, he could easily get the rushing touchdowns and the rushing yards. I think losing DeAndre Hopkins for the first couple of games of the season could potentially damage what Kyler Murray could do, but then you can make the argument that, you know, Kyler Murray didn't have DeAndre Hopkins for a lot of last season as well, so maybe that's not going to completely impact him. But I do think that once DeAndre Hopkins returns with the wide receiver core they have in Arizona, they are clearly trying to give Kyler Murray the weapons. They bring back Zach Ertz. They have James Conner. They have a lot of weapons for Kyler Murray to use. So I think that in 2022, we probably see another excellent season out of Kyler Murray. And the reason why I like Kyler Murray so much is a little bit different than to why I like Justin Herbert. I like Justin Herbert because I think that Justin Herbert could throw for 5,000 passing yards and 43 touchdowns. The reason why I like Kyler Murray is because I think he could throw for 4,000 yards, but I also think he could rush for 10 touchdowns. So a little bit different as to why I like each of these players, but that's not to diminish the fact that I think Kyler Murray is a pretty solid passer in the NFL. He has never eclipsed over 4,000 passing yards, but in 2020, he had 3,971. So pretty close in my book.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that is because of injuries, not just games missed, but playing through injuries, which certainly hindered him. You look at attempts per game, he was 12th. Completions per game, he was 8th. Passing yards per game, he was 8th. Completion percentage per game, he was 2nd. Average yards per attempt, he was 9th. So a lot of people will call this the horizontal rate offense. But when Kyler throws downfield, he has been efficient doing so. Now we just need that sample size to increase to the full length of a season. And rushing, even last year, I mean, the guy suffered an ankle sprain in week 8. Ankle sprain that he tried to play through the latter half of the year. He still finished with 423 rushing yards, and I do view that as his floor. When you look just back to 2020, this is a guy that finished with 819 rushing yards and 11 scores on the ground. If he puts up those kind of numbers as a rusher and then just gets through the season unscathed with 4,000 passing yards, this is a guy that has a very legit chance to finish as the wide receiver 1. And I also like what the offense is doing around him. You know, DeAndre Hopkins has the suspension, but they just don't sit on their heels. They go and they trade for Marquise Brown, a guy he has rapport with, a guy he played with in college. They bring back some veterans in AJ Green and Zach Ertz. And I don't think these are players that are game breakers by any means, but I like that there's a veteran presence around players like Marquise Brown and around the young players like Rondale Moore and Trey McBride and whoever it may be that needs to step up in this offense. And then you look at just what's around him. I think the offensive line is fine, but the defense is certainly a little weaker than like what the Chargers are going to put on the field. So when you talk about teams that might be in potential shootouts, I think the NFC West is another division like the AFC West where you could see a lot of back and forth affairs with teams like the Rams and the 49ers really giving the Cardinals some trouble in their regular season schedule. So overall, I like Kyler. Is there anything else that you want to add about him as a player, or you want to get to the upside scenario of how he finishes QB1?
Yeah, I just want to add real quick. Last year, his protection rate was 81.6%, which ranked 20th at quarterback. I don't necessarily see that going to top 10, but I do think he will finish a little bit higher in that category. He was number one at the quarterback position in terms of money throws. Now, what a money throw is, it is a pass requiring exceptional skill or athleticism, as well as a critical throw executed in clutch moments. So that's pretty good, right? If you're only playing in 14 games, you have one of the highest money throw rate. Now, does that mean a lot? No. I mean, there are definitely a lot of players that are good at money throws at the strip clubs, but he's good at the NFL level, which means a lot. He was number four in yards per attempt, and he was number three in fantasy points per dropback with 0.61, and that's because of that rushing upside. If the offensive line plays slightly better with the defense that they have right now, it's a little bit suspect in my book, so maybe that means that they're going to have to be throwing a lot more at the end of the game, and that'll be even more advantageous for Kyler Murray. And like you pointed out, this is another division where we could be seeing a bunch of high-scoring games, especially with the Rams, the 49ers, like you said. Not to just steal your point, I just completely agree with what you said. So now we can move on to how is he going to potentially hit that ceiling to be the number one guy in fantasy.
I don't think a lot has to change other than health, to be honest with you. In the games he played last year, and remember, the stat I'm going to talk about is top five finishes, top 10 finishes. This is front loaded to the beginning of the season when he was healthy. Down the stretch after that ankle sprain, these numbers declined quite a bit. But top five finishes, he finished inside the top five times. Top 10 finishes, 8 times. Essentially all of that coming in the first half of the year. So to me, all he has to do is play his game and remain healthy. I mean, we've already seen the rushing upside. 819 yards in 2020. That's ridiculous rushing upside that really only Jalen Hurts and Lamar Jackson have. And then you talked about his passing. He's essentially already at 4,000 yards passing, and he's doing it injured. If he stays healthy, I think it's reasonable to expect that number to climb to like 4,200, maybe 4,500 as a ceiling outcome. But to me, it's just health with Kyler. Do you think it's the same, or what else does he have to do to get there?
Yeah, I completely agree. It's all about the health. And like you said, with those top five, top 10 numbers, he was the number one quarterback in fantasy 3 separate times last season. And when he was healthy, the first 2 weeks of the season, he was back-to-back the number one quarterback. So as long as he is able to stay healthy, and as long as the weapons around him are able to stay healthy, then I really think the sky's the limit for Kyler Murray. And like you said, I wouldn't be surprised, really, if he rushed for over 1,000 yards this season. Now, that may be kind of the ceiling outcome, right? Maybe he's closer to 800, 900, but over 1,000 yards is certainly possible. And while a lot of people will make fun of Kyler Murray, maybe move him down the rankings because last year he played like shit in the playoffs, right? He played terrible in that game. He had no idea what he was doing. The lights were too bright, but it doesn't matter. There's no lights too bright for Kyler in the regular season, right? Just in the playoffs. And fantasy's played in the regular season. So that's all you got to know. Kyler's going to do good in the regular season. Maybe in the playoffs he chokes again. Maybe he does need a step stool to brush his teeth in the morning, but I still like Kyler Murray a ton.
I like Kyler too. I'm going to have him in my top 3 QBs in fantasy rankings. And that brings me to our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. This is the best way to take advantage of off-season fantasy football. You and I talk about this all the time. It's not the years of old where May was a dead time for fantasy, June was a dead time for fantasy, and it was the 4th of July where things turned around and we started to get training camp news. Now, Underdog has provided us with an avenue, a fantasy football outlet in the off-season. It is the single best place to take advantage of fantasy football this summer, and they just unveiled their Best Ball Mania Tournament 3. It has a $10 million prize pool, and all you have to do is just draft your team. That's it. There's no waivers. There's no trades. There's no in-season management. And Underdog gives you your best score on a weekly basis, and the highest score at the end of the year wins. Better yet, last year's Best Ball Mania Championship team was drafted in June, so there's no time to wait. Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100 with the promo code AWESOMO. That's good for 4 entries into the Best Ball Mania 3. All you have to do is head to underdog.com or go to the app store or just click the link in the video description below and sign up with the promo code AWESOMO today. All right, Nick, we're going to go to quarterback number 3. It is Patrick Mahomes. He's already taken down the honor of number one fantasy football quarterback. And, you know, I'm going to consider number one fantasy football quarterback the MVP, the real MVP for all of us out there. So Mahomes has already done it. The questions with Mahomes this year are going to be, can he overcome the loss of Tyreek Hill? So talk to me a little bit about the Mahomes situation and what you think his prospects are moving forward this year.
Yeah, so I think that, like you said, the Tyreek Hill thing is going to be the biggest reason why people try to do some mental gymnastics and try to talk themselves away from Patrick Mahomes. I really think that Patrick Mahomes is still the best quarterback in the NFL. Maybe you want to argue that there are some other players that are slightly better. I understand that he doesn't have this elite rushing upside, right? If every single regular season game was a playoff game for Patrick Mahomes, then maybe he could run for 500 plus yards during the regular season, but that's not the case. He's not going to put his body on the line to do something crazy during the regular season. But when it comes to the playoffs, he does obviously do that. Patrick Mahomes without Tyreek Hill is going to be just fine. I understand that other weapons that they have now, when they tried to replace Tyreek Hill, like Juju Smith-Schuster, they get Sky Moore, they bring in a bunch of other players, that is not necessarily going to fill the humongous hole that Tyreek Hill leaves. But you don't need to just bring in the next Tyreek Hill. There is no next Tyreek Hill. So it's going to be impossible to fill that hole anyways. So with what they have there, I believe Patrick Mahomes is a good enough quarterback, a sound enough quarterback to be able to elevate past whatever could happen. Even if Juju Smith-Schuster doesn't play that great, even if some of these wide receivers they bring in don't end up hitting, I think that as long as they're able to be just like 70% of what Tyreek Hill was, then Patrick Mahomes is still going to dominate. He still has Travis Kelce. He is still one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the NFL. He still has one of the biggest arms in the NFL. I really do think that people are severely overreacting to the loss of Tyreek Hill, and maybe he doesn't throw for 5,000 passing yards. He didn't last year. There's still a good argument to make that he's going to be the number one quarterback in fantasy. But to me, he's locked and loaded as a top five guy. I've seen people rank him outside the top five because Tyreek Hill is gone. And I find that to just be stupid, right? I see no reason to rank him outside the top five.
And a lot of it comes down to volume on offense. We talked about volume with Herbert. Well, the Chiefs, they were third in pass rate and neutral game scripts. That's just games within one score. They were sixth in overall pass rate. They were fourth in plays per game in tempo. So it's an offense that is going to try to move quickly and throw the ball a lot. And it makes sense. Like, Patrick Mahomes is the best player on their offense and arguably the best player in the NFL. So that allowed him to be top three in completions, attempts, top five in passing yards per game. He was in the top half of the league in both completion percentage and efficiency when you talk about pushing the ball downfield. And he also has enough rushing ability. We talked about it with Justin Herbert. Patrick Mahomes actually finished with more rushing yards than Justin Herbert. Not by a lot, but I just want to use that as a frame of reference. He's in that same category. So when we talk about what Patrick Mahomes has to do moving forward, I think it's just play a lot of the same and then have some positive touchdown regression. And now there are times we've seen him with this enormous touchdown score. He had 50 touchdowns when he finished as the fantasy QB number one already. So I do think he needs to play to that ceiling just because he's not going to be running as much as Kyler Murray, but it's in the realm of possibility. And perhaps the offense doesn't have to rely on a player as much like Tyreek Hill to get there. So to me, when we talk about what has to happen for Patrick Mahomes to be the QB one, I do think he needs some positive touchdown regression in this upcoming year. And I do think he needs some players to step up, whether it is in conjunction, all of the players, you know, the Sky Moores, the Juju Smith-Schusters, everyone they added to their offense, or if it's just one player that can maybe play at 75% of Tyreek Hill, something has to happen, in my opinion. But what do you think about the ceiling case for Mahomes?
Yeah, I think there has to be a strong start to the season. Last year, there was a lot of people saying, oh, Mahomes is washed up. Oh, did you guys see what happened? He wasn't top five the first couple of weeks. This guy sucks. And then, obviously, he started to find his stride. But he had multiple weeks last season where he didn't throw a single touchdown. Week 7 against Tennessee, 0 touchdowns, 1 INT. Week 11 up against the Cowboys in a game which basically every DFS analyst, every fantasy football analyst were like having a wet dream at night thinking about how Dallas versus Kansas City is going to be a million points on the board. 0 touchdowns, 1 INT for Mahomes. Then they have their bye week, and then they go to Denver. 0 touchdowns, 1 INT. Again, there's the other case that we talked about with Herbert, with this is a great division. This is going to be a division that has a lot of high-scoring games with each other. Pat Mahomes does play a very tough schedule, right? They're going to have to play these very tough upper echelon teams at the NFL level. I think Pat Mahomes will be able to get it done again, and I think People are ranking him outside the top five. They're ranking him closer to five than they are to one. I think people are really sleeping on Patrick Mahomes. And I think that as long as he's able to play a little bit more consistent than he was last year, there is strong reason to believe that he could be the number one guy. And he had multiple games throwing five touchdowns last season and even did it in the playoffs up against the Steelers.
I would say I think he is safer than a lot of other quarterbacks in the top five. But I think when you talk about ceiling case, I think there's an easier path to QB1 for everyone we're going to talk about, except for maybe Justin Herbert. Like Kyler and Lamar Jackson, just having the ability that they do with their legs is such a positive for them. And that brings us to our QB number two. It is Lamar Jackson. Just a vastly different type player than what we've seen the other quarterbacks put on the field. And last year was a little bit different. The Ravens sort of trended towards the middle in terms of pass rate. They'd been bottom three for most of Lamar's career, but then last year they were 23rd in pass rate in neutral game scripts, 22nd in pass rate overall, which was a change. And Lamar ended up getting hurt, so it's hard to evaluate the entire season for Baltimore. They actually finished fourth in the AFC North, but this team brings back most of their playmakers. The one major change is they allow Marquise Brown to leave, but to me that sort of indicates that Baltimore is looking to go back to the offense that they used when Lamar was actually able to win that MVP season. Extremely run heavy, still up tempo. I mean, this team was first in plays per game even last year, and that's been a staple of the Lamar Jackson era. But I really do think this is an offense that is going to be predicated on the run, but that doesn't necessarily hurt Lamar with his skill set. So talk to me a little bit about the former MVP coming off the injury.
Yeah, the injury does not really concern me at all. I'm not a doctor. So I don't really, like I say this in a lot of videos, right? I'm not a fucking doctor, so I really have no idea. But based upon everything that I've read, based upon everything that I've seen, Lamar Jackson is going to be just fine. The biggest reason to like him, like you said, is that rushing upside, right? He only plays in 12 games, but he has 133 carries for 767 yards. He does only get two rushing touchdowns, but his carry number and his rushing yards number were both top two at the quarterback position. I think he could easily rush for 10 touchdowns in 2022. Am I going to project that? No. But is that definitely possible? Is that in the realm of possibilities? Yes. And last year, he had a below average passing touchdown rate. He threw 16 passing touchdowns at a 4.2% rate. Now, in my book, I think most quarterbacks should be close to that 5% number. So I think that he is bound to get a lot more passing touchdowns in 2022 when compared to 2021. The biggest concern for me with Lamar is his interception number. But even if he throws 17, 18 interceptions, the fact that he rushes in so many touchdowns, the fact that he gets so many rushing yards, all of that basically just cancel out any wrongdoings by Lamar throwing the football. So I think that Lamar Jackson, again, he is not the best passing quarterback in the NFL. He never will be in my book. But I think that he is a quality enough passer that if the team is able to stay healthy, if the O-line is able to stay healthy, the running backs around him, then he could definitely finish number one strictly off of the rushing upside, as long as he's able to kind of just be middle of the pack in terms of passing.
I agree with you. I mean, this guy is a former MVP. He has finished as the QB1 before. Prior to last year, where he only played 12 games, he was above 1,000 rushing yards in 2019 and 2020. And that was with seven rushing scores apiece, which I think you could expect a little positive regression there. So we know what he can do on the ground. He's very much a 1,000-yard rusher when he can play a full season. And he was nearly on pace for that last year, finished just shy of 800 yards rushing. But as a passer, I like looking at that 2019 season where he did finish MVP. And I think returning to a run-first offense could actually help him efficiency-wise, because defenses have to treat you a little different when you're playing that style of offense.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to dedicate more people in the box to try to stop Lamar Jackson and the multiple rushing attack they're employing. Not to mention they're getting back J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards and not having to trot out the corpses of Le'Veon Bell and Devontae Freeman and whoever else they played at points last year. So overall, expecting more efficiency. And then when he did play in that MVP-level season, 36 touchdowns. So positive regression would be fine. There was a 9% touchdown percentage, so we're not expecting that. But 3,000 yards passing, that would be very much in the realm of possibility this year. And with the interceptions, that's never really been a huge problem for Lamar Jackson. He's been right around 2% interception rate throughout his career. And last year spiked to 3.4%. Marquise Brown doing him no favors out there. So I think just overall the run heavy offense could lead to more efficiency as a whole for Lamar. And similar to Kyler, a QB1 finish to me is going to come down to health. If he can play 16 games, number one overall quarterback in fantasy is very much in his range of outcomes due to his legs. What do you think about number one? What does he have to do to get there?
Yeah, I think he needs to get a little bit better at passing against zone. He ranked 27th in completion percentage against the zone last year, but against man coverage, this man dominates, number three. So while that doesn't actually matter at the end of the day, right, I don't actually care about how good he is against the zone. Against
hard players. To play zone when you have to dedicate more players in the box.
That is very true, very true. But at the end of the day, like you said, Hollywood Brown, that game against the Lions made me want to pull my hair out. I had so much Hollywood Brown, Lamar Jackson stacks in that game. Shout out to Justin Tucker, though, kicking a 60-yard field goal or however much that was, like 65 or something crazy. But at the end of the day, like you said, Lamar easily could finish as the number one guy. He's not getting as slept on as Patrick Mahomes, but I still think that there's a very good argument to make that he could be the number one guy. And I think a lot of people who may have been quote-unquote burned by Lamar last year in your normal fantasy football league, right, where you're playing with your friends or you're playing with the guys from the office, the gals from the office, then there's a good chance that Lamar Jackson might start falling down the board, because that's just what happens. When people get screwed by a player, a lot of the times, if you're not playing with a bunch of players that are super sharp and can push that to the side, then they do fall down the draft board.
All right. Number one, Josh Allen, back to back number one overall QB finishes in fantasy each of the last 2 years. If he is able to do this again, he would be an elite company. I was listening to a Pro Football Focus podcast, and Mr. Ian Harditz referenced this stat. If I'm not mistaken here, and I didn't do this research myself, he would be the first player to finish three seasons in a row as the QB1 since Steve Young and Brett Favre, which would be ridiculous. That was the last time people even finished with the back-to-back fantasy number one overall season. So just the elite company he's in and how crazy it is what he's doing and putting on the field. When you look at Josh Allen, I mean, the offense is very conducive to fantasy success. In pass rate neutral game scripts, they were throwing second most in the NFL. They were sixth in plays per game. So he very much fits that up-tempo, that pass-heavy offense. And they lose their OC, Brian Daboll, but they move to Ken Dorsey, who's an in-house replacement. I like that for offensive continuity, not expecting too many changes there. And then the rushing. Josh Allen's not quite Lamar Jackson. He's not quite Kyler, but he's honestly not that far off. 763 rushing yards last year. And then he has a goal line role that just some other quarterbacks don't have. And I'm not even sure if Lamar Jackson and Kyler have this goal line role. 6 touchdowns last year, but he's basically their goal line back. They use him in that capacity due to his size and his physicality. Talk to me a little bit about Josh Allen in the year 2022.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for Kyler or Lamar to do that because Josh Allen is 6'5", 230 plus pounds. The guy is an absolute animal. Like, we should just give this guy the ball. He can run in any touchdown. You remember when he hurdled that guy in the Vikings a couple years ago? That was also crazy. But at the end of the day here, we have a quarterback that, like, I got him ranked at number one. I don't think anything could make me move him off of the number one spot. I don't think he's necessarily in a division that is as advantageous to scoring a million points. He's going to play up against the Jets. The Jets are probably going to lose by at least 42 points in each of those games. So that might not be the best for Josh Allen in terms of leaving him in the game and having him cook up some crazy stats. But they do have Miami. They do have the Patriots. I think that Josh Allen is yet again going to be amazing. He had 6.8 passing yards per attempt last season, a 60-plus percent completion percentage with 63.4%. He had a 5.6% passing touchdown rate with 36 passing touchdowns, which was seventh at quarterback, and 15 interceptions. There is really no reason to debate that Josh Allen can't be the number one guy yet again. He had 24.6 fantasy points per game last season. The Buffalo Bills have given me no reason to believe that Josh Allen can't be the guy. And going back to your statement about him being the goal line back, they draft James Cook. James Cook is not a goal line back. James Cook, yeah, based upon how I believe this offense is going to work, it's going to be Devin Singletary and James Cook. James Cook going to be more of the passing down back. So I think that Josh Allen, there's a lot of reason to believe that maybe he can even rush for over 10 touchdowns this season. Not saying that's a lock, but it is possible. He's had back-to-back years of throwing over 35 passing touchdowns. There's just so much to like about Josh Allen. And even though they lose Emmanuel Sanders, Cole Beasley, who gives a shit, right? They bring in Jamison Crowder. They still have Stephon Diggs. They still have Dawson Knox. Josh Allen will be just fine. So I love him again this year. And despite the fact that he's probably going to tear my Dolphins a new ass, I really expect Josh Allen to be amazing yet again. And I would be surprised if he wasn't number one, to be completely honest.
I think he's the safest quarterback to finish as the number one overall if you were making bets. And to me, to finish as the number one overall quarterback, it just needs to be a lot of the same. He needs to continue with his rushing. And I don't even think he necessarily needs the rushing stats he put up last year. I mean, last year, 763 yards, six scores. He was still the QB one the year prior with 421 yards and eight scores on the ground. So if you just mix up those numbers a little bit and he remains consistent, you're looking at very solid rushing numbers. And then again, the volume that the Buffalo Bills offense puts up is so conducive to fantasy success. You talked about 35 plus touchdowns in each of the last 2 years. His touchdown rates were 6.5%, 5.5%. Again, a little above average, but those aren't just wild numbers by any means. If he continues at a 5% touchdown rate, you're looking at 30 plus scores. And if he's closer to 6, 6.5, you could see him at 40. Passing yards, he's been at least 4,400 the last 2 years. And again, his volume has only increased. The one thing I love to see with Allen, which kind of escaped him early in his career, was the efficiency, which he's been able to, as far as yards per attempt and completion percentage, blow his early career numbers out of the water. So the growth he's shown as a passer, to me, all this says that he just needs to continue to be healthy and play at the same level he's been playing at, which honestly is MVP level in most seasons. But what do you think for number one overall case?
Yeah, I think that the number one overall case, maybe you want the pace of play to be slightly higher for Josh Allen, right? It was 11th at quarterback for the Buffalo Bills, and his protection rate was only 27%. And he also actually, technically, the protection rate and the pressure throws kind of go hand in hand. He had 111 pressured throws last season, which ranks top 10 at the quarterback position, number 7. So maybe if the offensive line plays just slightly better, there's reason to believe he could be number one again. And it's hard to really even paint a picture where Josh Allen doesn't finish inside the top three unless he gets hurt. And it's kind of even hard to nitpick what he did last year to try to elevate him to be even better because of how good he was. So unless something crazy happens to Josh Allen or maybe Stephon Diggs, because I do think that Stephon Diggs is such a key piece as to why Josh Allen is potentially so good. He was number 3 in deep ball attempts last year, number 1 in red zone attempts. I just expect this team to be very good again. I expect them to be competing for a Super Bowl, and I expect Josh Allen to potentially win the MVP this year. I think that I'm surprised he didn't get that many votes last year, if I'm being honest.
I agree with you. All right, Nick. We said it all. That is the deep dive into our top 5 quarterbacks. Hit us up in the comment section. Let us know where we may be correct, where we may be wrong. If you think Jalen Hurts or Tom Brady are going to finish as the QB1, let us know. He is Nick Leppery. You can follow him on Twitter at Notorious Fantasy. I am Matt Kajewski. You can follow me on Twitter at Matt_Kajewski. Thank you guys for joining us. We will see you again next time.